First, I'd like to thank all of you for coming, honoring Madhavisa Prabhu for his wonderful service that he performed over the many years, which made this movement so glorious and so honorable. He was a great, amazing example of how a devotee should present a Krishna consciousness. Although I did not have too much interaction with Madhavisa Prabhu, I would like to describe one very important meeting that I had with him. I'll tell you why it was important. It took place on February 1st, 1976, when Madhavisa was, I believe he was both temple president and GBC of the tall New York City temple on 55th Street. I should mention that just before that, I had my own temple on 56th Street on the east side, and the ISKCON temple was on the west side between 8th and 9th Avenue, I believe, and I was just off Lexington Avenue. Anyway, I had visited the temple, the lobby, and I was talking to Kapendra. And I remember it was a Thursday I visited, and a Friday I had visited, and he really preached the whole philosophy to me and made me more and more interested. Of course, I had received the Bhagavad Gita from the Hare Krishna movement, particularly Brahmananda, who signed his letter, Bruce Sharp, and gave me a free Bhagavad Gita. And if ever there was a means of drawing me away from where I was, that book definitely worked. So, I then also received after that, I ordered the Krishna book, and that was very important. I was so enlivened by that book, and I really felt that whoever the teacher was, who was His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, is that I wanted to know him, I wanted to study under him, I wanted to understand Krishna more and more. So it was a very, very compelling book. Anyway, on February 1st, let me backtrack 2 days. I decided to leave the temple of which I was the director, which was a different center. We taught Ashtanga Yoga there. And I was just a bit had it up to here with putting my legs around my neck and strangling myself with my arms around my legs. I had too much of that, and I just wanted to kind of loosen up and relax and just to chant and sing and dance, and that sounded like a better program, much easier for sure. So I left that ashram. It was a 4-story building that we had, and I moved into a hotel a few blocks away from the temple. And then on February 1st, early in the morning, I remember getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and visiting the temple at 4:30, when I think they have their Mangalarti. And as I entered, it was in progress. And who was leading it but Madhavisa? And I didn't know who he was. All I knew was it was incredible. The energy, the enthusiasm, the eagerness, the clapping, the dancing, the shouting, the screaming. I said, wow, this is amazing. Now, let me just talk about my health condition at that time, because it connects with the whole picture. I had at that time a neuromuscular spasms in my back. It was difficult for me to bend forward. It would take me like 3 or 4 minutes to bend down to get my hands to the floor, and just to bend back, it took a few minutes. My back was completely stiffened. It was very difficult for me to walk, and running was out of the question. It was a very serious disorder, actually. I thought I was going to die, and I was only approximately 112, 113 pounds at that time. So as I was watching all these persons bouncing up and down and dancing and chanting and clapping, all I could do was pray. I was praying, my Lord, can I ever get to that state? Please help me to become like they are, jumping and dancing and clapping and screaming and so forth. I was praying like that, and in my heart I actually heard a very subtle answer, you will be healed, and that's it. So I thought it was just my own mind talking, because it was my own desire. Sometimes we may think that God is answering us, but it actually is our own desire coming in the form of a thought pattern. So I accepted whatever it would be. I always take those types of things with a certain amount of doubt. Anyway, the Mangalartik was over. A little later on, we had the first class that I ever went to, and who was giving it but Rita Ananda Maharaj. It was the most fascinating, the most stimulating, the most breathtaking class that I had ever attended. I was saying, how does a person know so much? It was like the Bhagavad Gita was just flowing out of him, and punctuating that with so much humor. I mean, he made it so likable and so listener friendly, so that all you want to do is keep listening to him. And I was charmed, I was enthralled, I was absolutely enthused by what I heard. And all I kept feeling is that I'm in the right place. This is really where I belong. So after that, after the class was over, who should approach me but one of my old students, and he's sitting somewhere here, Bhrigupati. Bhrigupati was one of my, he left my ashram. and he never came back. He lived at the ashram. He was one of my students. And I was like, this Srila Prabhupada, he's taking my business away. So I was thinking, why are they staying with him? Why aren't they coming back? Not only did Bhrigupati, who was my student, and he never came back, and then there was, as you all know, Dravida Prabhu, and he was studying, and he was doing service for me, and then he didn't show up, and he was gone. And then one of my assistants, he told me, you know, I saw, it wasn't Dravida at that time, I forgot what his karmi name was, but he said, I saw him at the Hare Krishna, they were walking on the street, and Bhrigupati, and they were chanting the Hare Krishna. They joined the Hare Krishnas. I says, what? What rebellion? It's terrible. So I kept becoming curious, and what do they really have there? Anyway, I got to see it that morning, the rip-roaring kirtan that Madhavisa had led, and which caused me to I wanted to dance, but I couldn't dance. I couldn't run. I was kind of like an invalid. So, anyway, Bhrigupati led me upstairs to Madhavisa's office, and I got to meet him, and he was very sober and very polite and very respectful, because I was a swami at that time. You might not believe that, but I was. Because ever since I've come here, I've just been a brahmachari. So, but that might change next year. Huh? Oh, thank you. Anyway, but don't say that, because I might become one next year. So I might have to stay as I am. So anyway, I got to meet Madhavisa, and we talked about, he wanted to know what my philosophy was, and I told him what I had learned, and that my main thing was, you know, physical culture, and we did learn meditation, but it was what we call impersonal meditation. You focus on the light between your eyebrows and so forth. And that, but most of our teaching was teaching people how to get good health and get peace of mind, and that's it. So he told me all about bhakti yoga. He preached to me and told me how wonderful it is. But then he began to work on me to try to get me to stay. I said, well, I'm on my way to California. I said, because I couldn't stay in New York. And he says, well, why not? I said, I have too many students out there who are going to approach me and ask me why I left. So, and I said, I don't want to be embroiled in continuous conversations about what was bad here, what was bad there. I said, I want to get on with my life. I want to learn bhakti yoga. I want to become a bhakti yoga. And I don't want to talk about the past. And that's still pretty much my policy. I don't like talking about the past. I have the present. Let me use the present to go forward into a future which I hope will be blissful and fulfilling and totally satisfying. So he continued to try, you know, to help me to stay in New York. I said, I've been born in this. I was born in this city, and I just want to get away from this city, and I don't want to be constantly confronted by old students and so forth. So he said, so I would like to go to the Los Angeles Temple. So he said, well, that's fine. And I said, one of the things I would like to do, because I was trained in this discipline at New York University, is that radio and television broadcasting, putting on shows. And they said, well, Krishna Kanti, who's out there, he was doing some shows. They had done 3 shows, some of you may have remembered from the old days. And he said, you can go and join them. I said, well, that sounds great. So we left. I asked him, would he please give me, because I didn't know how strict everything was out here. I said, well, I'm thinking maybe when I come here, Tulsi Das happened to be the temple president. I said, well, maybe you'll think I'm too old. I was 43 years old. So everybody who was here at that time, which is between 19 and about 25. So I was like a father to most of these kids. And I was not going to come in as a Swami. I wanted to come in as just a new bhakta. I wanted to learn it from the A to Z. Because if I came in as a Swami, everybody would be offering obeisances, they would be glorifying me and honoring me and doing all this kind of stuff, which I definitely didn't want. I came here to learn. You can't learn when you're constantly being praised and honored and glorified. So I said, I would be Bhakta Allen. Okay, I'm getting the signal. Let me just wind it up. So, anyway, sorry. When he goes like this, he really means it. So anyway, I'll just end it here by saying that I then met Madhavisa approximately 17 years later, just in this alley, and I told him what my service was, which was doing the very thing that I wanted to do, which making these radio plays and doing these audio books and like that. And he came to my place. And I showed him the Chaitanya Charitamrita, what I had done. And he says, I don't see very well. I have he has some type of a eye disorder. And I said, well, why don't you take this Chaitanya Charitamrita? You can take it. He said, I don't have any money to pay for it because I'm a farmer now. He says, the only thing I deal with is cows and other animals. So I said, you don't have to worry about that. If you can pay for it, fine. And if you can't, that's okay, too. I want you to have it. I want you to enjoy it. Later on, he praised me and honored me and just said so many nice things because it enabled him to hear the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita just through his ears, and he didn't have to read anything. So that was the fulfillment of my desire, which was, as said, to put on these different shows. Many of you may have heard these audiobooks and heard these different narrations that I did, which is to put Srila Prabhupada's books in sound so that people driving on their cars or running or just cooking could hear the books. That was the basic idea. So I can't help but thank Madhavisa. He encouraged me. He enthused me. He enlivened me. We talked about acting so many times we would get together. And he was so determined, so dedicated, so absorbed and so surrendered that he set such a perfect example for me to try to emulate, which I have never even come near emulating. But at least I have a standard, I have a criterion, I have something to reach for, something to go for, and I thank Madhavisa from the bottom of my heart and the top of my heart and every part of my heart for doing this, and all of you for encouraging Madhavisa in your activities, because our encouragement to him has helped him. Srila Prabhupada's encouragement has helped him to be what he is, a great, wonderful, glorious devotee. Thank you so much.